This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The North Carolina Latin American Film Festival has brought diverse cinematic traditions to the Triangle for more than 25 years. This year, the festival focuses on sound, rhythm, and music, and how those themes shape our understanding of the culture and the history of the region. One of the short films in the festival tells the story of ex-braceros, Mexican guest workers who were brought to the U.S., with a labor shortage during World War II. Braceros worked in agriculture in the until the mid-1960s, but many of them still have not received the retirement benefits they earned more than 50 years ago. Rostros del Tiempo, Faces of Time, is on view tonight. We're going to preview that in our studio now. Filmmaker Charlie Thompson is a professor of cultural anthropology at Duke University who worked on the film as part of a bigger project exploring the border between the U.S. and Mexico. Welcome back, Charlie. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
We're joined by two guests who are here to help launch the film and accompany the photo exhibit. Luis Alfonso Herrera is a professor of sociology from Juarez, Mexico. Welcome, Luis.
Buenos días. Muchas gracias.
And Modesto Zurita is an ex-brocero who worked in the U.S. in the mid-1950s. Welcome, Modesto.
Oh, gracias.
Miguel Rojas Sotelo is the director of the North Carolina Film Festival, and we'll talk with him more about that in a moment, but he is helping with interpretation right now. Welcome, Miguel.
Oh, thank you very much for having us here.
Luis, can you tell us a bit more about the history of the braceros in the United States?
Sí, bueno, todo empieza a partir de el siglo.
Everything started in the last century, 42, from 1942 to from 1964, by a national program that the U.S. And Mexico signed. And the idea was to bring a group of laborers to work in farms in the United States during the Second World War. This started bringing young people that used to work in the farms in Mexico. Hundreds of thousands came through this program into the United States. They were called braceros. They were brought close to the southern border. They were inspected in health sanitary issues, and then through migration legislation, they were given permissions from 3 to 6 months each time to be able also to come back again after crossing the border. The workers were grouped, and bosses came to select them to take them to agricultural centers. But nowadays we know through our research and their voices that many of them worked also in factories, for example, producing airplanes or weapons, but and also in services, for example, in the road system or the railroad.
Y construcción de vías férreas en los Estados Unidos.
And the fact of their legal status also meant that they were guaranteed certain benefits beyond their pay, right?
Bueno, en el papel fue así, ¿no?
In the paper, yes, that was right. This was a binational program, Mexico, U.S. federal program, and that guaranteed legal status and some guarantees, payments for their work. But it worked in a two-way form. On one side, we have the bosses working with their new patrons, and they were pushed to sign contracts that they didn't understand what was entailed on those contracts. And from the beginning, they were said that 10% of their wages will be taken for a fund, retirement fund. The thing is that many of these contracts were also working in contextual sense for the amount of pounds or the amount of crops they were able to pick. And in many of these contracts were really in a gray side. And of course, many problems came with these contracts.
Abusos hubo de este tipo, ¿no? Por los patrones de tejanos.
Including, of course, not getting that pay that was indeed taken out. Well, Don Modesto, I think you can tell us about that in particular. Tell me about your experience as a bracero.
Pues este, la primera vez que me
the first time I came to the United States, I went to Nuevo León. Then they took us to Reynosa, close to Hidalgo, Texas. Then via autobus, we crossed the border. And in that moment, when we crossed the border, humiliations came. First, they took us. They asked us to take us all our clothes. They did some sanitary revisions. Some doctors they used to check on our butts. Then they gave us a badge with poison. They also dry blood out of us to check for illnesses. And many were not accepted, and they were sent back. And because we were not able to read and write in English, and the contracts were showed to us, and of course they paid whatever they want. They we used to work from the very early in the morning and returning late at night, and we just have time enough to prepare our food for the next day. The first time I came, I went to Rodwell to pick up cotton, to harvest cotton. I'm from Loreto. And we were really famous because we were really good harvesting cotton. Many people from my region came to the United States because we were famous for our work. In Rodwell, I worked many years in the cotton. Then later I came to Nebraska. I came to work in greens. It was a really hard job. We have to clean the field and plant one by one by hand each of these vegetables. We were given sections of the field to control the quality of the job we were doing. The one who was making a good job were given more money.
Don Modesto, excuse me, forgive me for interrupting, but what are the concerns of the ex-braceros today?
Ahora nosotros le damos justicia.
Right now, we are asking for justice. We are calling for the 10% that was promised as benefit for our retirement. From our wages, 10% was taken to a fund in Wells Fargo. From this bank, supposedly was given to Banco Rural, the rural bank in Mexico. And then we have learned now that this money has been sent from bank to bank, to place, and many of this money has been lost. We are asking for justice now. We don't ask for charity. We're asking for our money, the money that we earn as workers in this country. We are organizing ourselves through social mobilization, marches, takeovers of plazas. For example, in Ciudad Juarez, we work in a permanent mobilization. We have been there for 8 years.
Ya tenemos 8 años allí.
Luis, let me ask you now, where does this stand? Are the U.S. and Mexican governments working together? What's the status of this story now?
Bueno, el gobierno de Estados Unidos se ha deslindado.
The U.S. government has taken a distance because in 2000 they said that they deposited $700 million in order for the Mexican government to give this money back to the former braceros. But until this time, only $350,000 has been distributed to these people. But we know that up to 5 million border crossings happen during the program. We know that at least 1 million pesos is what has to be paid to each of these workers. We are working with several senators, Republican and Democrats, to ask the U.S. government to pressure the Mexican government to finally accomplish the distribution of these resources to the former braceros. There is a lawsuit now in the Inter-American Court of Human Rights in order to pressure the Mexican government to give this money. On the Mexican side, we have been also suing through a district judge, and actually we won already one of these cases. The decision has said that the federal government, Mexican, have to pay this money, and the government has said that they will fulfill that demand.
Dice que no se ha dado por enterado de esta situación.
We are hearing the story of the ex-braceros today on The State of Things. My guests are Charlie Thompson, a professor of cultural anthropology at Duke, who made a film that documents some of this story. And we're also talking with Luis Alfonso Herrera, professor of sociology in Juarez, and Don Modesto Zurita, who is himself an ex-bracero. So, Charlie Thompson, tell us how you came to find out about this story.
I first met Luis Alfonso at the University of Barcelona, where we were participating in a conference, and I showed the film, The Guest Worker, that Cynthia Hill and I had made, which is incidentally about workers a lot like the braceros, except they're in our present-day North Carolina. And Luis Alfonso stood to give his testimony after the film about how close the stories were between those workers who are coming today and those who came back in the 40s through 60s. And we hit it off and decided that we should work together. And he later invited me to show a film at the university, and my wife and I went there three different times. One Sunday morning, he said, Would you like to go to the park with me to see the ex-braceros? And we said, sure. And he said, you might want to bring along your camera. And so I did that and asked when I got there to the park, where there were some 200 people gathered in protest and demanding their retirement benefits, if I might take a few pictures of the demonstration. Instead of just saying yes, everyone began to line up and very close to me, and began to be about 2 to 3 feet away from the camera. And it was an amazing experience. I hadn't really planned to take that many photos, and luckily I had enough memory in my camera, and the lighting was good. And so what came out of that was some amazing faces of these venerable people between the ages of 70 and 90 who were in a park in one of the most dangerous cities in the world, saying to the Mexican government, we're not going away. We want what is our due. And that was so inspiring that I said at that point, if I can, I will bring these photos back to you. I do feel that since you were in the United States, that it is my responsibility to bear witness to this. This is the U.S.'s problem as well as Mexico's. And then we took the photos back and worked with the University of Juarez and also the College of Chihuahua to mount an exhibit. 200 and maybe 300 people came to the exhibit of the ex-braceros. And luckily I had a film crew with me, and we filmed the process of mounting and showing the exhibit to the braceros. And it was a very inspiring day. And they came on buses, and we gave them some refreshments, and they testified about the meaning of the program to them that day, and so now this exhibit has come to Durham, and it's a real honor to have our guest here. So I feel that we've come full circle, that Don Modesto is representing hundreds, indeed millions of people who came from Mexico and who still come from Mexico to do our hardest work in our society.
Don Modesto, did you see this exhibit when it came to Juarez, and what did you think when you saw the exhibit of photographs?
Recordar es vivir, ¿verdad? Pero se siente media poco tristecito, ¿verdad?
Oh, when you use the memory, you live it again. Here, actually, we're having more support in the United States than in Mexico. Just lately, September 29. Here in the United States, now we have the International Day of Bracero, of farm worker. We know which ones are the ones that came in 1942, the first braceros to Stockton, and they were welcome to Stockton that day. Mexico doesn't want to recognize our work. In Washington, D.C., there is an archive, and they gave us a list of 3,000 people. And with that list, we can find these people and use it as a documentation to get our money back. It's hope. We are living with hope because of that, because we had lost our documentation, but we will get it back.
Thank you, Don Modesto. We're joined now by the festival's director for the North Carolina Film Festival, Miguel Rojas Sotelo, who is also a professor in Latin American and Caribbean Studies at Duke.
Thank you so much, Frank, for having us here.
It's great to have you here. So this is one of the films. Tell us about this. Let's step back just a second and talk about overall your vision for the Latin American Film Festival this year.
Well, okay. The Latin American Film Festival is having its 28th edition, and we are celebrating 25 years of the consortium in Latin American Caribbean Studies that brings together scholars and faculty, students, and people from Chapel Hill and Duke. And we are celebrating. That's why the topic of this year is sounds and musics, but also movement. And this film in particular, Rostros del Tiempo, Faces of Time, talks about that, movement and rhythm and sounds, the sounds of the voices of people that had been silent, for example. But we are also exploring many other dimensions of the cultural landscape of Latin America through many films that, from a contextual way, somehow show experiences of Latin Americans, of people in Latin America and the Caribbean. For example, we had shown a film about Violeta Parra, one of the heroines of what is called the New Song. There was socially engaged music in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. We're showing a fabulous documentary about Mercedes Sosa, the voice of the America. She's like the most important singer of the Americas for 4 decades. Then we are showing also films about Brazil in the 1970s, how a group of young musicians combat through music and cultural production the military dictatorship that happened in Brazil that now is called Tropicalia. And we hear these sounds, you know, Caetano Veloso or Gilberto Gil. They are world famous, global musicians that were, you know, working in very particular conditions in their time in the Americas.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about these themes that are sort of that cut across certainly political boundaries. If you talk about rhythm and tempo and sound and voice, it also reminds us that this is a very deep history. This film that we've been talking about, Faces of Time, the idea that immigration is a very long story and about a deep and long relationship. I think we think about immigration in very contemporary terms, but it's important to understand the deep history.
Of course, we have to always put it in contextual and historical terms. These border crossings had been happening for centuries, right? This land was called by indigenous peoples Aviayala, a land in potential, the potential of life in the land. That's what it was called by indigenous peoples back before the contact. And as a potential of life, life needs to work together, right? It has to share space and resources, and we talk about that in through cultural production.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Miguel Rojas Sotelo is the director of the North Carolina Film Festival, and he also helped us with interpretation today. Thank you, Miguel.
Thank you, Frank.
Also, Charlie Thompson, a professor of cultural anthropology at Duke, who made the film Rostros del Tiempo, Faces of Time, and 2 guests who helped launch the film with us, Luis Alfonso Herrera, who is a professor of sociology from Juarez, Mexico, and Don Modesto Zurita, who is an ex-bracero. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Gracias.
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
The film screens tonight, Nelson Mandela Auditorium, UNC Chapel Hill, 7 o'clock. We've got details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the state of poetry in North Carolina. Please stay tuned. Quisiera.
cielo.